Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It was a joke about men in preparing for Christmas that Christmas preparation begins on December 24th when they start to go out shopping. We see a little bit of a different preparation for Christmas from God today. We see that God doesn't wait to the last second, but that God's actually preparing from before the foundation of the world, and that his proximate preparation was 1,000 years. Today in this first reading from the second book of Samuel, we see how King David, with incredible embarrassment and love for the Lord, said, They've made a house for me, and we don't have a temple, a house for you. I'm going to do everything that I can to build you a house. So he asked Nathan the prophet, okay? And Nathan, just thinking without consulting the Lord first, said, That would be great, David, which God wouldn't want to be honored in that way. But then the Lord corrected Nathan, sent him back to David, and said, Should you build me a house to dwell in? And then God describes exactly what he's going to do with David, based on what he has already done, calling him to be the king of the people. I'll give you rest from all your enemies. You'll hear an echo of that twice in Zechariah's Benedictus. I will establish a house for you. I'll raise up an heir after you, sprung from your loins. I will make his kingdom firm. I'll be a father to him. He'll be a son to me. And that wasn't meant to be a metaphor. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm. As David was trying to give a gift over to the Lord was giving a far greater gift to David. There's an important moral consequence. Pelagianism is a heresy that what God wants first is our effort. God does want our effort. But Catholicism is that God always gives himself first. His grace always begins. God always starts. Every good thing we want to do for God is a response to the seed he's planted within us to do that good. And we see that here with David. David's holy desire to do something great for God was preceded by God's even greater desire to do something great for David. And we see how this long preparation was fulfilled when Zechariah, after 9 months, had his tongue loosened and was able to bless the Lord. You know, it's pretty incredible how Christological this is. A lot of the times when people think about Zechariah's words, they think it's a prophecy about his son, John the Baptist, and it clearly is. But what Zechariah was saying here was the fruit not only of 9 months of contemplative prayer, but I'm totally convinced the fruit of having Mary in his and Elizabeth's home for anywhere from 3 to 6 months as Elizabeth was preparing to give birth, Mary would have shared with her elderly relatives exactly what had happened to her with the archangel, about what the Lord's promises were. And Zechariah, with his priestly training, had just pondered that for a while. And then he would come out and say that the present is here in both senses, the gift of the Lord as well as his entering into our time. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. It was that long wish for the visit of the Messiah to come and set the people free. And Zechariah is already saying the Messiah is here. First thing he says when he opens up his mouth is, hey, it's good to talk again. Not it's about his own son. His name will be John, as we heard yesterday. First word he says is, the Messiah has come. He's raised up for us a mighty Savior. Mighty. Even though he's still a fetus. Mighty Savior. Born of the house of his servant David. Both Mary and Joseph came from David's line. Then he starts to go through the preparation. Through his prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies. That's what Nathan said to David. From the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant. He swore an oath to our father Abraham to set us free from the hands of our enemies. Why? Free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. That's what God wants us to do, with no inhibitions, with no extrinsic or intrinsic limitations, to worship him fearlessly, saints and just, all the days of our life. Then he speaks to his son about his son's important role before he'll come back to the Messiah who's coming tomorrow. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. You'll go before the Lord to prepare his way. Again, he is clearly doing exactly what Elizabeth did. When Elizabeth said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Zechariah grasped that same message. He would be the prophet, not just of God, but prophet of the Most High, literally, the forerunner of God in the flesh. He would go before the Lord to prepare the Lord's own way, to give his people knowledge of this salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. His whole mission would be to make straight those paths through the sacrament of confession, through God's mercy, so that Jesus might come. And then he turns back to Jesus. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. We had that O antiphon that we focused on a few days ago. O Oriens, O rising sun, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Illumina sedentes in tenebris et in umbra mortis. Shine on those sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide our feet into the way of peace. We're asking the Lord to lead us. At least 1,000 years of preparation here, we know that it goes back before time. That's the preparation the Lord has for this great gift. But he wants to say to us today, you want to build me a manger? You want to build me a crèche or presepio? You want to build a place to come and adore me? You want to even build me a church? No, I will build you one. When my son comes, the point is not only that he dwell in you, but you dwell in him. Both of this, I'm preparing for you a home for my son inside you, and so that you might be with me and with him forever in heaven. That's what the Lord wants to do, something even greater than what he did for King David. He built him an earthly line in Jesus. But we know about what was said about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest of all who ever lived prior to Christ's coming. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. The Lord wants to make our salvation firm forever. He wants to have flow through us the graces for our own kids, so that they might be firm in the Lord forever, so that as he guides us into the way of peace, we might be those signposts showing them that same way. This is the gift that the Lord wants to give us in Christmas. Throughout this proximate preparation, we have been pondering the O Antiphons. The last of them all is the greatest. O Emmanuel, O God with us. Rex, no stare, et legi fear, no stare. Our King and Lawgiver. Our King, the one who reigns, but also our Lawgiver. When we hear that, we might think, okay, the boss, the guy who is the supervisor, the bad foreman. No. When this was prayed, Lawgiver, it means not the absent leader, the one who cares enough about us that he gives us his law so that we might be guided in that way of truth and so that we might be able to coexist as God wants us to coexist. It's an incredible blessing. Teach us your ways, O Lord, we would say so many times in the prophets. Expectatio gentium et salvatore arum. The expectation, the long desired of the nations and the Savior of the nations. Veni et salvandum nos, ad salvandum nos, come to save us, Domine Deus nos, dear Lord, our God. We turn to God with us, truly with us, building a temple for us and making us into that holy temple. The Savior, the long-awaited, we pray that he will come and truly save us, just as he foretold through all his prophets, as Zechariah sang to us today. This whole pattern of the O Antiphons is an acrostic. An acrostic are a bunch of words that go together, that the first letter of which signifies something. And if you go backward from today all the way back, it's Emmanuel, E, Rex, Gentium, R, Oriens, O, Ero, I will be with you. C, Clavis, R, Radix, A, Adonai, S, Sapientia. Clavis is key. R for Radix is root of Jesse. A is Adonai or Lord. And S is Sapientia or wisdom. I will be Ero, cross, with you tomorrow. Praise be Jesus Christ.